associate professor at University of Virginia. She's the director of a doctor of nursing program / master of nursing program at the university. And she has long time working and teaching in the public health nursing field. She does have passion for global health issues. On that note, welcome to today.
Other factors. There was a professor of religion, there was one from economics. went to were the Czech Republic, the Czech Republic and Slovakia, which were once the country of Czechoslovakia, and Hungary. These are the places that we visited. Note that the Czech Republic is very close to Germany. One method of comparing development and well-being of populations is through the Human Development Index. This is an index that was developed by the United Nations to compare development in various countries. It's based on a single statistic that is a value between 0 and 1 that is derived from the following measures. Life expectancy, which is a long and healthy life measured by life expectancy at birth. Education, there are two measures that are used in the Human Development Index for education. One is the adult literacy rate, which has 2/3 weight, and the other is primary, secondary, and tertiary enrollment in school, and that counts as 1/3 of the weight of the education measure. And the third measure is standard of living measured by the gross domestic product per person. I wanted to compare these countries using that index. All 177 countries that are measured, members of the UN, are included in this report that is on the UN website. In comparing the United States and Germany as benchmarks for looking at these three countries in Eastern Europe, the United States ranks 8th out of 177 countries in the world. Germany ranks 21st. I use Germany because it is a benchmark in Western Europe and very close to the Czech Republic, so very much a part of the same history and the same development. The Czech Republic is the most well-developed of the three using the Human Development Index, and that ranks 30. Hungary is 35, and Slovakia is 42. When you look at this, you can see the difference between the Czech Republic and Slovakia, which were once part of the same country. And what happened when they divided was that the Czech Republic ended up with the major industrial centers and the greater wealth of the country, and Slovakia became the poor part that was cut off from the Czech Republic. The years of communist rule were characterized by nationalization of the means of production, collectivized property, and various periods of political repression. And while the countries of Western Europe recovered after World War II and experienced economic growth, modernization, the living conditions in Eastern Europe fell well behind that of most countries in Western Europe. And the Soviets established gulags by labor camps to control dissidents to this system. This is a picture of a Soviet labor camp at a uranium mine in the Czech Republic. People lived in these barracks. There's a huge fence, very imposing and intimidating, around this whole prison camp. This is the uranium mine, and people were forced to work in the mine 12 and 14 hours a day. So those who didn't die of diseases or overwork or exposure were exposed to the uranium and the long-term consequences, health consequences of that. When communism ended, Eastern European countries were faced with the problem of how to distribute property and wealth that was once owned by the state, and they're still dealing with these problems to some extent. The social problems began to emerge for people who had depended on the safety net that was provided by communism, and that social safety net has not yet been adequately replaced. Communism provided state support for people using a paternalistic attitude and strong social control. They developed a strong tradition of institutional services that included housing, health care, and pensions for the elderly. So when the end of communism came in 1989, there were increased opportunities and hope, and many people have done very well, particularly young people, people who were entrepreneurs. But the social support services that supported many people suddenly stopped when communism ended. And throughout these three countries of Eastern Europe, the groups that were most disenfranchised and most hurt by the end of communism were the Roma people, the elderly, and the mentally ill, many of whom are homeless today. The nonprofit sector has grown to cover new social services, and they're dependent on the state or on EU funding for those services. So it's very sporadic. these are just street signs, street pictures that were taken. This was a homeless shelter in Hungary. And these are people who were in the homeless shelter. And of course, it's not possible to identify who are what the reasons for homelessness may be and who are the mentally ill in these groups. This was the settlement of Roma children. Out of all this, it wasn't too hard to understand the problems of the elderly and the mentally ill, but I began to question, who are the Roma? Why are these people so discriminated against? The Roma people migrated to Eastern and Central Europe from India around 1200 to 1300 AD, and they're often referred to as gypsies. They maintain strong family and cultural ties and have never fully assimilated into the surrounding cultures. There are many of them in Romania and in the Czech Republic and in Hungary and in Slovakia and down to Italy. These countries don't know how many people are there because they don't consider them citizens, so when they do a census, they don't count them. The communists urged the Roma to give up their traditional lifestyles, however they have their own culture, their own strong family ties, and they have not assimilated into the surrounding culture. During the Holocaust and World War II, millions of Roma were killed along with the Jews. We don't hear much about that because the Roma really don't have advocates to speak on their behalf. Most of the Roma continue to live on the fringes of society. However, some have been assimilated into society. We did meet with one person who was a member of parliament in Hungary who was trying very hard to represent the Roma people. Over 50% of Roma children are sent to institutions and are deemed to be mentally disabled and not fit to attend public schools. So the Roma children aren't included in schools but are sent to special schools just for Roma. We tried to visit a Roma camp, a school, but this was summertime and the kids were at camp, so we went to the camp to visit the kids. And here are the so-called mentally disabled Roma children. They seemed very bright, very active, very interested in interacting with us, very much wanting to host us and to please us, and they didn't have anything to share, really, but they offered us water and cookies. And we're very proud to be able to do that. The Czech Republic once existed with Slovakia as a single country known as Czechoslovakia. And after their mutual decision to split in 1993, the Czech Republic advanced more rapidly and dealt with its social problems much more effectively than Slovakia. The Czech Republic is divided into two regions. One is Bohemia and one is Moravia. This is a picture of Prague on the Elbe River. One thing I found interesting about this picture is the contrast between the very old, the castles and the old cathedrals, and the very modern. You can see modern buildings and technology in the background. Slovakia separated peacefully from Czechoslovakia in 1993 in what you've probably heard of as the Velvet Divorce, following the Velvet Revolution. And Slovakia, of all the countries we visited, was the most poor, the most backward. I took this picture in Bratislava, which is the capital of Slovakia. And what I wanted to show with this picture was the contrast between what is obviously a Soviet-era building next to some of the older European buildings that have a lot more aesthetic appeal, artistic appeal, versus the very solemn, gray, dismal buildings from the Soviet era. Hungary has a history of more than 400 years of domination by great powers, the Ottomans, the Habsburgs, the Germans during World War II, and the Soviets during the Cold War, and a shifting geography due to several experiences of redrawn borders leading to regional instability and separation from Hungarian minorities living in neighboring countries. The Hungarians have a very homogeneous and cohesive culture that is very, holds people together, and has a very unique language that is unlike any other language in Europe. It's been identified to be picture of the Hungarian Parliament building in Budapest, which is very much like the British Parliament building in London. Some of the serious challenges in these countries, then, is privatizing banking, telecommunications, and energy industries that were once part of the Soviet Union and once owned by the government, transforming the housing sector, reforming pension and healthcare systems, solving environmental problems that are left over from the communist era. Political and business-related corruption remains a problem. Return of communist confiscated property to private citizens. The social welfare system continues to struggle with underfunding and lack of strong central support, and migration of people coming from Eastern countries to Western Europe, migrating through this area, is seen as a problem to people within these countries. Three principles of action that are recommended by the WHO Commission on Social Determinants of Health are to improve the conditions of daily life for people, to tackle the inequitable distribution of power, money, and resources, and to measure the problem, evaluate action, and expand the knowledge base to develop a workforce that is trained in the social determinants of health, and to raise public awareness about the social determinants of health. And this is just a list of references about this. I found